Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Lauren. And thank you to all of you for coming tonight. Welcome to a fall kickoff. We took a little pause and kind of restarted things. Every one of the ministries here at Apostles is being kind of reevaluated, and that's a good thing. I've been a pastor for over 40 years, been in ministry for a long time, and a lot of times things are started going way back, you know, as something, and then it moves on and kind of lose what's the vision, what was the original vision, what's the group all about, what is it, where is it going? And so we're going to talk about some of that tonight. I'm going to kind of introduce myself. Some of you know a little bit about me, but introduce myself. It's not about me, but since I'll be the primary teacher, just so you feel like you know me a little bit, and just kind of want to work through some of the history of the group going all the way back to when it started almost 25 years ago here at the Church of the Apostles. So my name's Dave Hubbard. I grew up in Napa, California. Grew up on a ranch in Napa. Everybody hears Napa and you get kind of this romantic thing with the wine and all that. That actually did not exist at the time that I grew up. In fact, grapes were not the main agricultural crop. It was plums and walnuts. There were a couple of old wineries up valley, Christian Brothers and Behringer, who we kind of knew about them, but not a big deal. And in the summer, you know, of school, high school or whatnot, if your summer jobs was picking walnuts or plums typically. And we lived on a ranch there. And that all took off, the whole wine thing took off when probably I was in high school. And there's a movie called Bottle Shock. Anybody here seen Bottle Shock? This would be wild. Nobody. Okay. Look this up. It's got good actors that you'll know. Who's the one I'm trying to think of? Star Trek, the new Captain Kirk? Chris Pine. Okay, so this was one of Chris Pine's like first movies. And he plays the hippie kid of the vineyard owner. Who was the president of Independence Day? Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman is his father, or the vintner owner, and it's actually, it doesn't say this in the movie, but the Stag's Leap is the name of the winery. Now, it tells the true story of what put Napa on the map, okay, as far as wine, and it's really fascinating. It's called Bottle Shock. So you can get it, look it up. It's been quite some time since they put it out, but that really tells the story. So there were five of us kids. And we knew there was not money to go to college. We knew that. So we were all going to have to figure it out one way or another. And we did. All of us ended up working that out, either music or sports or academics or whatever. For me, it was sport. I played three sports and ended up with a full scholarship, okay, to play football. I had four choices there. This is going to sound kind of crazy when I tell you where I went. But it was Oregon, it was Arizona State, it was Nebraska, and BYU, Brigham Young University. And I went to BYU. So I went there as a Christian, and, you know, it's a Mormon school. But it was huge. It was 30,000 then. So we're talking 40 years ago. And athletically, it really wasn't any different than any other major college university. In fact, most of the, only like 10% of the coaches and the players were Mormon. So it wasn't any difference there. Academically, obviously, you had some courses that you had to take. For me, I really felt like my call to the ministry came when I was in high school, and that ultimately God was saying, I want you to be in the ministry. Now, whether that meant, you know, the mission field or a pastor or whatever, I didn't know, but I really felt drawn to that. So this was kind of strange. Like, what am I doing at BYU, you know? But honestly, for me, it was the best thing that could have happened to me. Because I was the church was our life. We lived out in the country, and every time the doors of the church were open, we were there. So we went to Sunday school, and then, you know, Sunday morning church, and then Sunday night church, and then Wednesday night church, and just, you know, it was constant. And so I was on the quiz team and the debate team, and I was kind of this cocky Christian kid, you know, who felt like probably I knew a whole lot more than I actually did. And when I was in Provo, Utah, now, Mormon school. I didn't know a lot about the Mormons. And so it was like, okay, let's figure this thing out. And what I experienced was wonderful people who loved God, and they're family oriented, very, very moral, you know. And but then I begin to get into, okay, what is it that you believe? And like, oh my gosh, we're running into some serious conflicts as it relates to what I understand the Bible teaches. And so I really had to deep, okay, what is it that I believe, and why do you believe that? Do you believe it because it's the church you grew up in? You believe it because your parents believe that? Or, I mean, which is the truth, because they can't both be true, okay? And what I came to understand was that, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints really was the Church of Joseph Smith of Ladder, L-A-D-D-E-R, and saints with a small s, okay? That's a serious thing. That's a serious thing, because one of the worst things can happen is for someone to believe that, you know, they're on the right path, but they're not. They've been deceived and they're on a completely different path. And so that whole experience really shaped me in a big way for ultimately what God had in mind for me down the line. So ended up getting drafted by the New Orleans Saints and played with Archie Manning. This tells you how old I am. So Peyton Manning's father was the quarterback. When I played for the Saints, I was an offensive left tackle. And that was an interesting experience, and I'm sure you'll hear some stories about that along the way. I stepped out of the NFL and directly into ministry. So started in, I actually went back, the church, it was a small church in Napa at the time that I was going to, kind of in the off season when I'd go back to Napa. And the senior pastor there had been a football coach in Southern California and then felt the call of the ministry, went to seminary, and had come in as the pastor. So we connected, obviously, and I kind of went to him saying, well, what should I do now, you know, because I want to go into ministry full-time. And he said, why don't you start here? I said, okay, great. So was there for 5 years in Napa with him. Then I moved to Atlanta in 1989. We've been here almost 35 years. So I've lived in the same house there. I live in Marietta. West Cobb, kind of right down behind, in Lee's Crossing subdivisions, right down behind the new Marietta High School. There, been there, like I said, a long time. We started out at the Methodist Church there in Marietta. Charles Sineth was the pastor, and it was funny because when people said, "Oh, come to this church," I thought, because in California, which tends to think kind of start there and then kind of move across the country. And in California, we felt like the Methodist denomination had kind of going left and sideways a little bit. And I was president of the Ministerial Association for a couple of years, and they weren't even in the Ministerial Association. And the line there was, you know, they've taken down the cross and put up a weather vane. Whatever way the wind blows, that's the way they go. And so I'm like, I don't know about a Methodist church. But I go to the church, and I was blown away. It's like, oh my gosh, this is what I grew up with. It was wonderful. And of course, what I was not familiar with was the South, was the Bible Belt, which, you know, is completely different than what I was accustomed to. So prior to that, I pastored in the San Francisco Bay Area. I pastored in Estes Park, Colorado, and I pastored in Portland, Oregon, okay? So I've lived in 7 different states. I've driven across the country 7 times across America. So I've been around. So moved here, but this is the longest we've ever been here. So we were at that church for 7 years. I was on staff there for a while and taught an adult Sunday school class, a large class there for 7 years. And then that church, it was inevitable. Everybody kind of knew it was coming. It was a matter of when. And it did. And so many came here. There's probably 150 people here at Apostles that were from that church. We began at that time just my wife and I visiting other churches, which was fun. So we'd go to Johnson's Ferry, we'd go because we'd heard these different pastors, and so we'd spend a couple months there. I went to, you know, North Star up in Kennesaw, and it was fun. And what I tell this story because it's unique. It's like, how did you get to Apostles? And here's how I got here. Melinda was, my wife was in Savannah with some playing tennis with some of her tennis friends. So I was batching it for the weekend. Woke up Sunday morning, it was pouring down rain, just buckets of rain. And I said, if I'm not mistaken, Apostles has a parking deck. That's a true story. Yeah, so I didn't I don't like umbrellas and didn't feel like dealing with all that. So that was it. My first visit to Apostles was pulling into the beautiful parking deck. And that was actually before this part of the church was built. This was back when the old building was here. It was a State Farm building. So half of this church, just so you know, if you're coming through the church and you're going like in the sanctuary, if you look up, there's like a rubber thing. Actually, you can see where the division of the building is, of what is the old building and what was all built as new. And of course, the sanctuary and all that was built as new. So in 2013, I was asked to come on staff to take over the 20s and 30s group, to be the pastor for the 20s and 30s group. And so I did. That was great. Was here for 5 years. And then from there, went over to Leading the Way. They had something specific they wanted me to do at Leading the Way, so I went over to Leading the Way. Leading the Way is the kind of the internet. Kind of got caught in no man's of Apostles. And so was there, and then kind of got caught in no man's land with my job description. And so from there, I was athletic director and taught Bible at a Christian school for 4 years. That was an adventure. The school was mixed. It was probably 85% black, 10% international. And so that four-year experience there was great. And again, learned a lot, and it was fun. And so we came off of that back on staff here in August of last year. So I came on with a dual job description. Half of it was to work with TJ with small groups. TJ runs the small groups. It's a massive ministry here. There are 80 small groups in 14 counties. That's huge. So I help him with that. And then the other part was making better connections, we'll talk about this in a little bit, with the people here at Apostles, with the 501c3 ministries that exist around Greater Atlanta, to help people get more involved in terms of serving and volunteering and all that sort of thing. So let's talk about impact and when it started. So this slide shows the biggest picture here is Lee Mason, and he's the one who started it all. It's about 25 years ago. And at that time, in fact, I'm really going to adopt what was Lee's kind of vision and what his, the program was as it was designed. And it was to for 20s and 30s at that time, to reach out to as many, reach out into the community to reach as many people for Christ as possible, you know, in that age range. And at that time, they skewed more 20s than 30s, but it was a different time. So they skewed more 20s and 30s, but a good part of their group were married. You know, 25 years ago, that was happening, okay? But not so much now. So, he was here for a number of years. Then he went and started a church in Athens, Georgia, where he still pastors, okay, College Town Church. And Russ Masterson came in after him, was here for 5 or 6 years, and then I came in after Russ. So I followed Russ, and then after I left, I think Jonathan stepped in, Youssef, and then Kevin Cuthbertson was there for a while, and Jeremy was there, and you know it's rotated with a number of different pastors in. As far as that was concerned. Next slide. So we wanted to kind of rebrand. We've divided. There's a big difference now between 20s, especially early 20s, come out of college, and those of you who are in your 30s. And so we decided to go, let's split that, okay? And so the idea is we just want to, again, same vision as was the case with Lee Mason at the beginning. Let's get as many 30s as possible in and around Atlanta involved, okay? So the kind of the new branding, we've got 30s at Apostles. This is 30s Connect, okay? Before, when I was doing it years ago, if you saw it in the corner of the picture, there was a picture of a big house on the beach, okay? We used retreats. We have a Labor Day retreat, big Labor Day retreat. We'd rent $2-3 million homes on Grayton Beach, one of the top 10 beaches in the world, and have a big Labor Day retreat. And we use that to kind of get new people, and it was kind of a pivotal event there. We won't be doing that, but we will be doing big events, okay? So we will have, during the course of the year, it may only be one next year, maybe two. Maybe one will be bigger than another, but these events will be large. In fact, what happened was we were programming and scheduling for one of these big events to bring in a speaker, relevant speaker to this age group and so forth, who's nationally known. And Michael Youssef heard about it and came to me and said, "Whoa, do you think you can get him here?" And I said, "Yeah, I think we can." And he said, "Well, if you can get him in, we're going to make this a citywide event and blow it up." So he said, "Okay, good." So that's actually in the works. And that would, I think, fall into place August of next year. But these events obviously are designed to where you can really reach out and invite people, you know, who might not be as comfortable in this size group, but would definitely want to come there, would want to hear the speaker, special music coming in, and all the rest. So that's basically how we'll roll with that. All right, so here's some of the things that we want to define. A fun and relaxing community gathering for those in and around Atlanta and in and around their 30s, okay? Nobody's taking age checks here. You know, we're not asking to see your license. So we could care less if you're 27, 28, 20, you know what I'm saying? And we don't care if you're in your early 40s, it doesn't matter. We welcome, if you're, you know, married, fine. We have kids, fine, that's great. This is for this age group, okay? Any and all to come. And we want to create a community gathering that nobody wants to miss, you know, on a weekly basis. It's like, no, I gotta come to 30s Connect. That's just a great gathering and community of people that I'm building relationships with, and I want to make sure that I'm there. Okay? An opportunity to bring and meet new people and build relationships that matter. Key words here, number one, bring. Bring. This group needs to grow. Okay? All of the groups in Apostles are designed to grow. Okay? So how many of you like a challenge? Okay. Let's fill this room. We have this whole, one of the reasons that we moved to this end of the building, okay, is so that we can grow. We have this whole end of the building reserved. So we can spread that, entry social time all the way down to the end. We got plenty of room. And we can obviously expand in here big time. So the other thing is to meet new people, okay? Be meeting new people. Get new people here and be meeting new people. And then to build relationships, okay? It's all about relationships. All right, some of the features of our, as you know, those that come live music, never take the music and musicians here at Apostles for granted. Okay? You have no idea how fortunate we are, okay, with the professional talent that exists here. And it's a very special thing for a group like this to have a pastor assigned and a budget and all of this. That's a big deal, okay? And so that's why it's imperative that we grow. Okay, so amazing group of talented artists who love Jesus, and there will always be live music, okay? And good food, okay? We like to spread it around with different, in terms of catering, with different kinds of food. Now, we will charge starting the new year in 2024, just $5 a piece, so that we can continue all that and keep, and we'll have all of the quick, easy ways to pay. You know, off the card, off your watch, whatever. Come in. But we will start charging after the first of the year. Okay, and an environment that is welcoming, non-judgmental, and seeker-friendly. Welcome all, okay? This is why we moved to this end of the building for two reasons. Number one, okay, was also so that when people come, we want it to be as non-threatening as possible and easy to just walk in and be a part of the gathering, okay? I actually talked to people over the course of the last couple months who, some of you have never met, who have been here because they never made it down to the meeting. They came in, saw a policeman to their right, it's kind of dark, sign said turn left, they went left, got down there, another sign, turn, and then the killer was, now go downstairs. It's like, and some of them stopped, turned, and left. Yeah, so, you know. So the idea here is, as you see, park down here, come in, open door, boom. You're a part of the party, part of the happening, part of the gathering. It's just all happening at that point. And number two, as I mentioned, is room to grow, okay? And we want to be seeker friendly, okay? I want you reaching out and inviting people who do not know Christ, who have problems with it, whatever. Just, you know, entice them to the community, entice them to the gathering, entice them to the food, entice them to the live music, entice them to the event that is 30s Connect, okay? Because everything when I teach and everything else, it'll all be through the lens of the kind of the seeker lens, okay? Understanding, I assume that there's some of you here tonight who are not Christians. Maybe you're just seeking, you're curious. That's great. We want you here. Absolutely want you here and want you to feel comfortable and to feel welcome. You know, and a part of that too is the welcoming piece. We want you to be looking around. If you, tonight, you see somebody who you don't know and never seen before, you should not leave without introducing yourself to them. Coming up, make them feel welcome and a part of the group so that they come back. Okay, next is uncompromising, age-relevant biblical teaching, acknowledging Scripture as the final authority on truth, and Jesus as the only way to salvation. So I'm not going to compromise as far as the Word of God is concerned. But at the same time, the way I look at it, I look at it as, there's snorkeling, and you can put some tanks on, right? Go down a little bit deeper, stay for a while, and then you can go down in a submarine and drop all the way to the bottom, okay? The teaching here this time will be more snorkeling, occasionally put some tanks on, okay? It's going to be more designed because there's plenty of opportunities to go deep. You can put tanks on here and you can get in a submarine here at Apostles as far as, your continuing education, if you will, with the Bible. So it's going to be an opportunity where, again, I'm assuming that there's those that are here that don't have a clue, but they're curious, and that's why we want them here, all right, so that we can lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, also a gateway to a variety of other ministries at Apostles that are designed to meet deep, specific needs for personal spiritual growth. So the idea is this: this is not, nor should it ever be, an end unto itself. Okay? You don't come to 30s Connect or 30s at Apostles as your church. Okay? This is just a meeting that takes place for the reasons that we've talked about. There's a whole smorgasbord, as I've said, of great ministries. There's adult Bible study classes. There's women's ministry, has tons of stuff going on. Men's ministry. The Hub is a great thing that happens here, all men, every Tuesday morning, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, start to finish. There's mentoring opportunities, both women and men, that you can get involved in. Wednesday night, other times. There's Living Waters, okay, which is kind of into recovery and those kinds of, there's just a whole vast array of things that are opportunities there that are kind of those next steps down as you go. So this isn't trying to be comprehensive to all of that. And this is not trying to in any way replace Sunday worship. Okay? Now, for those that are coming and seeking, I don't expect them to come to to Sunday worship. I don't expect them to go to these other meetings. They're just coming here because this is a safe place for them to come here and to learn without having to get into some of those other things that they don't understand or want to participate in yet. But for those of you that know Christ and are here, you should be going. Now, I don't care if you go here or someplace else on Sunday morning, but you should be going somewhere. And I'll throw this in. I'll tell you this. We left during the time that I was at the school. For the first 2 years when we left leading the way and I was at the school, my wife and I decided, let's go to a small church in Marietta where our kids and grandkids go. Okay, let's just try it. Smaller church, let's try that. So we did for 2 years. Okay, and we came back, but we really liked the smallness of it, if that makes sense. So when we came back, we said, let's go to the 9 o'clock service. Okay, so we came to the 9 o'clock service and we've never changed off that. So since we've been back, we go to the 9 o'clock service just because we love it. Okay, I know Jonathan and known John for years. And now when I came to the 9 o'clock service, I immediately recognized something that was different that hadn't been the case before at Apostles. It used to be that the 9 o'clock service, they would rotate pastors in and out. And the people that came to the 9 o'clock service came because they had something to do that Sunday earlier in the day. It's like, let's go to the early service. But it's a totally different ballgame now. This is a separate congregation of people that comes consistently to the 9 o'clock service, okay? And I say that because, you know, Michael Youssef is a very interesting, phenomenal testimony of what God did. And he was in Egypt and God brought him out of Egypt and here. And, you know, it's a very unique kind of a thing. And one of the things with him that some people have problems with, and some more so in your age group, and I get it, is he's seriously patriotic, you know, and he can get political, okay, more so than some other pastor. And I get it because I know him, and he is just so, he gets it, right, because he lived in another country that didn't have the freedoms, and it's like he can't help himself there. And so some have said, and I know from the past when I was here, well, I don't go to the 10:30 service because it's a little bit too patriotic at times. Well, you're without excuse, okay? Come to the 9 o'clock service. You won't encounter any of that. You have to wake up a little bit early, but come on, okay? So that's a great, great alternative for you. And then finally, as we talked about the big events, okay? So these are things that we're planning. We may have some that aren't as big as we try to land on a couple of these going through. All right, so let me close it out with this. There was a pastor in Southern California, Pastor Tim Timmons, years and years and years ago when I was a young pastor there. And a large church down in Southern California. He did a great thing I'll never forget. He used to, every once in a while, in Sunday morning preaching, he would lean across the pulpit like this and say, "Aren't we just talking to ourselves?" That's a great line. Really good line. And what he's challenging is, you know, it's real easy in churches and groups for us to just get comfortable with each other as believers, right, or whatever, and we stop looking out, reaching out. We stop doing what Jesus tasked us to do. And we get locked in, and it's not healthy. So, you know, you've got the church, okay, those that are, you know, the saved, and then you've got the world, those who are lost, and you've got two kingdoms, right? The Bible is all about two kingdoms. Start from Old Testament all the way through, it's talking about two kingdoms, okay? The kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God, all right, which is another kingdom that will continue. This kingdom here is coming to an end. It's going to end. Okay, but the kingdom of God goes on forever. God says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And so those who believe, okay, are become a part of the new world. But it's real easy to get comfortable, okay, in kind of the church group with those like you who are a part of the kingdom, of God's kingdom, and kind of forget about those that are lost in the other kingdom. Now, a better representation of this is here because the church really is not the building, okay? It's not organizations building whatever. It's people. The kingdom of God is people. It's all, everyone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ all over the world is a part of the kingdom of God. And so those that are a part of the kingdom of God and those that are not. And so and everything happens, needs to happen through the merging of those two worlds as far as relationships that then build to where we can fulfill the Great Commission that God has asked us to fulfill. Jesus' entire 3-year ministry, so it's God in a bod. He comes down, he takes on the form of man as God, and he 3 years to do his thing. And what did he do through that 3-year time? Is he built relationships. It was people, relationships, people, relationships, people, relationships. It all happens through relationships. So when I was with the pastor who was, you know, that had been a football coach and I had come out of the NFL, we used to talk all the time about this illustration, this metaphor, this analogy of, it's kind of like football, you know, with the church in the sense that, you know, you huddle and the huddle's really important. The huddle is where you come up with a game plan, you define strategy, but then you got to break the huddle and you got to go to the line of scrimmage, right? We took back at that time, it was after a Sunday service, and I asked some people if they wanted to participate. They said, fine. I had some connections at one of the local high schools, and we brought them in. We put them in uniform. These are just regular people at church. Brought them out to the field, and we had a camera, and we filmed this little video. And it went something like this. They're in the huddle, and they never break the huddle. And the referee, we had a referee after, he throws the flag, delay of game, moves them back 10 yards. They wouldn't break the huddle. Delay of game, moves him back. Finally, he breaks into the huddle and he says, you know, what is the matter with you people? Are you going to play the game or not? And by this time, helmets off, they're laying on the grass and they say, no, we love the huddle. We've all gotten to know each other really, really well. We've memorized all the plays. And then it was like, you know, you can get hurt on the line of scrimmage. It gets messy up there, okay? And so this becomes kind of the metaphor that we want to break out of. So, you know, it goes like this. If Jesus, so the question is this, I won't ask you, but I'll ask myself. If Jesus were alive and here today, would you find him in a bar? My answer to that is yes, you would. Absolutely. Now, we could argue about whether he's drinking or not. Certainly we know he wouldn't be drinking too much, okay? But I think yes, he would absolutely be, because this is where he hung out. He wanted to be where he could be with people, right, who have problems and are seeking and searching. All right? So he came to reach the lost and to heal and to help. And so I say all this to say, you always need to ask yourself, you know, as a believer, am I on the line of scrimmage? I've got hot, right, but am I on the line of scrimmage? And if you're not, then you got to break out of that. Why? Because we have the hope. Christ calls us to share the reason for the hope that is in us. 1 Peter 3:15. And why hope? Because we're surrounded by death, despair, emptiness, regret, fear. All the time, we peer into an unknown future. Those in our circles of influence need to know that only in Jesus can they find pardon and peace. And so I love that verse, Acts 1:13, when Jesus is ascending into heaven and they're all standing there, you know, looking, and two men dressed in white, angels are there, and they're going, why are you looking up in the sky? He'll be back. Get on with it. Go. Go. He gave you a strict command. He kind of said, what are we supposed to do now? And he said, go. Well, go make disciples. Build relationships. Stay in touch with people who don't know me and bring them to me. And he said, you know, I'll be back. This is an amazing statistic. There's a book out now called The Great De-Churching. We're kind of studying this book here. The authors of this have been on the podcast with Jonathan. And they did a massive, massive survey throughout the entire country where, you know, just who's not going to church and why. And so this is an amazing statistic. Of the 40 plus million people who left the church for whatever reason, 20 plus million, half of them said they would return if someone invited them. Wow. They just need an invitation. Just need an invitation. So that brings us and wraps up to where we're at. That's what this is all about. This is about us providing a place where it can be comfortable for you to invite others who maybe at one time were part of the church, maybe they were raised in the church, but they aren't now. They've kind of left God and left all that. But per what we just saw here with the survey, all they need is somebody to ask them to come. And they'll come. And there we go. Okay? So blending with people, bringing them to Christ. So it's kind of a funnel effect. Okay, the idea with the big events, obviously, and when we do a big event, it will be very intentional. It's not like we're going to put on a big event. We got, you know, 300, 400, 500 people there or whatever, and we just expect, oh, they've come to the event. Well, then they'll come. No. We'll get contact information and we'll follow up relationally with them, and that funnels down to the next obvious place for them to come and to visit is 30s Connect, and then from there, other ministries, you know, within the church come to Sunday worship, come to Living Waters. It just funnels down from there. But this is a part of the top of the funnel. And we'll close out with this. So one of the things, when I was doing, back in 2015, when I was pastor of the Thursday, I went to the leadership and I said, I've got some additional bandwidth. Is there anything else you'd like me to do? And they said, yeah, why don't you get, we need somebody to kind of get involved with these local ministries that the church supports. So the church takes 20%, this is pretty crazy, pretty well, 20% of all of the giving that comes, they give out to these ministries. They have a bunch of ministries that they do this to. But what was happening was there wasn't, typically what would happen with churches and kind of outreach is it would work this way. The church would say, you know, we're going to, we want to do a serving thing. So the church would pick a weekend. They'd contact the ministries and they'd say, what can we do for you on the second week of August? And they're like, I don't know. And so they'd end up, well, you can come cut the grass, you know, you can paint, you can do, you know, do whatever. And it just, you know, and then we'd print the t-shirts and we'd go out and do everything and just take some video and say, hey, we served, you know. And so we kind of have tried to fix that to get it down to where it's practical and can be happening in real time based on the needs of the ministry. So long story short, we've implemented a software called Volunteer Hub. Volunteer Hub was actually, you know, developed initially for companies who said, you know, the CEO of the company said, we want as many people volunteering in our company as possible to these different, you know, charitable groups. And so it allows for you to kind of register, get in, and then be able to connect with and know. So that QR code, if you want to register, we're kind of in the pilot stage with that. We'll launch after the first of the year. But that's something that we're developing that will make it very easy for you to stay connected and to serve. Okay, these are the ministries that we're connected with, just to give you an idea. There's a lot of them. And I've, over the years, visited almost all of these ministries, been a part of them in learning about them in one way or the other. And so that brings us to the close. We will always close out right at 8:30, just so you know. And so that you can schedule off of that. So we will start next week with a series I'll teach, and it is What is a Christian? So that's what we'll start with. Okay, I'll close in prayer.